Pocketed at least $18 million in personal payment from his own quiet spends through the revolving door of government corporate corruption. Only 4 months out of office, for example, Jeb got a nice sinecure as a board member of the insurance giant Tenet Healthcare, which ran several of Florida's private hospitals under the state Medicare program. In 2006, Tenet was found to have cheated patients and taxpayers with more than $1 billion in overcharges. To settle this malfeasance, the corporation paid only $7 million. Meanwhile, Tenet recently gushed that it has benefited greatly from Mr. Bush's, quote, extensive background in government service and his perspectives on public policy and social issues. In heartfelt gratitude, during the past 8 years, this one corporation alone has put more than $2 million in Bush's pocket. This is Jim Hightower saying, can the guy even spell INTEGRITY? Integrity?
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Monday, it's 5:33 right here on Say Hey KZFR, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio program. My name is Jake, joined as always by Noobs for a special hour-long edition of Pledge Drive. Say Hey.
Yes.
Yes. It's good.
Here comes the rain.
Here comes the rain. We got a lot of stuff to talk about over the next hour. We got folks out there waiting to answer your phones. Peter Ratner, still Pledge Drive captain right now. And the phone number is 895-0131. So give us a call. We're going to repeat that information intermittently over the course of the evening. Give us a ring if you'd like to support community radio. 895-0131. Noobs, how was your weekend?
It was good. It was a mellow Halloween for myself.
Yeah?
Yeah. Didn't do much. Watched a little, little baseball.
Yep.
Little football.
Did you get out to the KZFR show on Friday night?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not.
I had a show on my own. I had a wild weekend, Noobs. It was fun.
I bet.
It was great.
Yeah. No, Wake of the Dead, right? At the Women's Center?
Yeah, the Women's Club at Wake of the Dead. I had a Pinhead show at Duffy's. Nice. I went to a party on Saturday night, and then I saw a show. Saw Sharon Jones up in Reading last night.
Oh, cool.
It was a great weekend. But you know what? We got a lot to talk about. 895-0131. Give us a call. We'd like to shoot for 6 phone calls to start with over the next hour.
It's one every 10 minutes.
One every 10 minutes. We can do that. 895-0131. Who's going to be the first caller? Let's start with the World Series, Noobs.
Yeah.
Because it was an exciting 5 games.
It was. It was really closer than...
It was closer than a 5-game series would dictate.
Right.
But ultimately, the Royals are the champs. They did what they do, and they just keep coming at you,
mm-hmm.
and they force you to close it out, and if you can't... Tough luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to get 27 outs.
You got to get 27 ounces, right?
I mean, obviously, that's the way it always is, but with those guys, I mean, it's like no lead is safe.
No, they set a postseason record for comeback victories, 7 of them.
It was unbelievable.
It's like, you know, a 2-run lead late, that's nothing.
It's nothing. Yeah. And, you know, and they started out, you know, against Houston, game 4, that 5-game divisional series.
Mm-hmm.
They were down, 6-2?
Yeah.
Late.
Like in the 7th?
You know, 7th or 8th inning. Yeah. 7th, I think, yeah, came back. And then, you know, they really didn't look back from there.
No. They were down to David Price at home.
Right.
They rough him up in the middle of the ALCS.
Mm-hmm.
They get to the Mets 3 times.
3.
In the 9th inning.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Familia, the Mets closer who hadn't blown a save since late June.
Right.
Winds up blowing the game 1. I'm sure we'll get to this all in detail. But
right.
And then last night was put in a really awkward position. You know, Harvey came out to start the 9th and didn't get a clean slate to work with and
right.
wasn't able to hold it down. And
nope.
It was exciting. It was excruciating for me personally because I was really wanting it to go long. I was definitely wanting it to be an interesting series, and I just felt like in my heart of hearts, I knew Kansas City was a better team.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt that the Mets like kind of blew it.
They did blow it. And it's one of those things, though, where some of the things that get overlooked about being, quote unquote, a better team are not flashy. You know, being a better team means not making an error in the eighth inning.
Right.
Not leading off with a walk in the ninth inning. The manager making the right decision on when to hook somebody.
Yep.
Stealing a bag. Putting the ball in play.
Yeah.
Like we saw the Giants last year, for example. They were getting deemed lucky. And really, it was the same kind of stuff that the Royals were doing was don't strike out. Put the ball in play. Make something happen. And look what does happen. Guys make errors. They don't come up in the clutch. You know, guys string singles together.
Yeah, this was possibly the worst matchup for New York, honestly, because Kansas City just doesn't strike out.
Nope.
And the Mets, the biggest strength that I think you could, you know, put a check mark next to them when you're, you know, lining these two teams up is the starting pitching.
Right.
And the fact that the Mets starters all throw 95 and above.
Right.
You know, Syndergaard's, you know, tickling 100 miles an hour. And so these guys throw gas. I mean, they've got good secondary pitches, too. But the point is Kansas City hits the fastball, and they were hitting the fastball on the first pitch.
Yeah.
And they were doing it relentlessly. And then when they got on base, you know, I don't think they hit a single home run at Citi Field in the three games. But what they did is they get on and then they're relentless.
Yep.
They're stealing bags. They're going from first to third.
Yep, putting balls in the gap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and there's no weak spot in the lineup.
There isn't. I heard Harold Reynolds say you can't tell, you know, whether they're at one or nine.
Alex Gordon's hitting eighth.
And honestly,
he can hit second.
Yeah, it's true. I've never really seen a lineup like that where they all just hit for contact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Morales has got more power.
Yeah.
But I mean, all those guys at certain times can hit a jack.
Oh, yeah.
But none of them are like, okay, this is clearly their cleanup hitter.
Right. There's no, like, Cespedes on the team.
Right.
Didn't have a very good series at all.
No.
And the Mets defense really came to bite them. And they're not necessarily a bad defensive team. But
no, but...
But they just... It didn't happen. And I mean, you've got to play good defense in the playoffs.
I mean, you know, Daniel Murphy, two really bad gaffes. Even David Wright made, he had the one error. And then even last night,
that,
I felt like
he kind of whipped that throw, kind of slung it.
Yeah.
Was not a timely ball to Duda, who in turn throws the ball away.
Well, you know, the thing, I mean, just getting right to that play, there are a couple things that were wrong for me, you know, like watching it, you know, flipping back on my DVR and watching it a couple times. He gets in front of Wilmer Flores, the shortstop, which honestly, that should have been Flores' play because Flores was straight up to the ball where David Wright kind of had, because he's coming over from third, his back was to Hosmer, who was the runner who was leading off at third.
Yep.
So there was nobody to hold him on the bag. And he looks back and tries to hold him. But doesn't hold him long enough. Hosmer starts beating it down to first. He makes the throw over to Duda, which I thought he actually could have waited another second to get it over there. And then Duda makes just this awful throw to home.
Yep. Yep.
Whereas if he makes even, you know, a decent throw, they might get him
right
with a play at the plate.
Right. 895-0131 pledge drive here on Say Hey all the way up till 6:30. And, you know, I think it's worth noting that it wasn't necessarily a savvy move by Hosmer to take off. That very well could have ended the game had it been cleanly executed, but it was a gamble worth taking, in my opinion, because they hadn't been playing good defense.
Well, I think that's the thing is that, yeah, I mean, it maybe wasn't the smartest, you know, percentage-wise, but maybe they had a scouting report on Duda that said he's, you know...
And they're playing with a two-game lead.
And they're playing with a two-game lead going home for the last two games if they do lose that game. And honestly, they had been putting so much pressure on the Mets that why not just keep going like that and say, hey, force them to make a play.
Yeah, yeah. I think, I mean, in that regard, I think it was a great piece of base running. Other guys would disagree that it was just too risky, but hey, it worked.
But there was,
and the Mets consistently had been goofing in the late innings.
Right.
And they did it again.
No, it was a brilliant play. And it was funny because once they got that leadoff walk,
you
know, like you could see the Royals dugout. It was like they knew they were going to score.
Oh, yeah. And Hosmer very well could have been the series MVP with the way he played. Although I have no problem with it going to Sal Perez because he was the Iron Man. That guy was so beat up and still managed to hit 360 and score some runs and
I think
call the pitches.
I think it was a case of, you know, there wasn't really a clear winner. Mm-hmm. And so it was good to give it to the catcher because the catcher was the guy who, you know, he caught that staff and he was the one catching the relievers. I mean, he was just, you know, because Kansas City's, their relief pitchers were so amazing that the one constant there is the catcher. He's the one that's, you know, calling the pitches, going out to the mound, calming guys down. He's the defensive captain out there on the field. And he did come up with some really timely hits.
He did. He scored. He wound up getting on base late. Let's have a listen, actually, to a few calls here. These will be from Joe Buck. The first will be Eric Hosmer scoring on the right to Duda to Wild throw. This happened in the ninth inning. This tied the game. At the time, it was 2-1 Mets with a runner on third. This would be the second out, and then here comes the tying run. Here's how it sounded.
Runner at third, one out. Broken bat.
That was how it happened right there. And you knew the Royals were, you know, the Mets got to play eight innings of extra inning baseball against this Royals team, and they didn't score.
No.
So they had their chances to still win that game, and they didn't get it done. Then we'll move on to the 12th when the Royals wound up putting five on the board. And a guy that hasn't hit since early October, Cologne of the Royals, comes up with a man on third and one out. And now you know his name.
His first of the postseason. Cologne delivers it. And the score is Dyson. And Kansas City is on top 3-2.
And right after that, we had Lorenzo Cain come up and clear the bases with a double. Stretch it to 7-2. The game's over.
I mean, that was the proverbial floodgate.
That was the floodgate.
You know?
895-0131. We got a couple lines open. I think we got about three calls in right now. We're going to get to thanking some people real soon. 895-0131 right here on Say Hey. And then Wade Davis comes in. He's been so great for them.
Mm-hmm.
He's done whatever they need to do, even when their setup man went down. And he slams the door. And here's how it sounds when Kansas City wins their first World Series in 30 years.
The 1-2 again.
So congrats to the Royals, and looking ahead, I'd like to say that I think the Royals are going to be right back on top of that division next year. I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be right in that same position to win the Central.
Yeah, I like a lot of the young players that Minnesota have.
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
But I just don't know if they're going to have a complete staff that's going to be able to compete for 162 games with Kansas City.
Because Kansas City's not an old team.
No, they're not at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not a typical. I don't see it being a situation where a bunch of guys are going to want to go out and get paid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure sitting here right now what their free agent status is,
right?
Man by man, but you know, I don't see this being one of those things where it's the team's going to get blown up.
No, and I think that if they can keep a couple of frontline arms in the rotation, you know, because you know they're going to lose a little bit there just in terms of what they acquired for trade deadline and whatnot. That there's no reason why they just won't be right there.
You know what's crazy? I was thinking about today. You know, Zach Greinke was there only a couple of years ago.
I know. How's that heel feel for Greinke?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If he had just stayed in Kansas City,
right?
I mean, how dominant would they be? And they probably would have won 110 games this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I mean, maybe that's stretching it, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And he's a free agent because
he's a free agent. I would bet he'll stay in LA, but you know,
you never know. Though
you chase the buck, sometimes it doesn't pan out.
Right.
He goes and gets, you know, the biggest payroll in league history, and the team he used to play for has been to two consecutive World Series and now has a title.
Yep.
And I bet you for Kansas City fans, not just Royals, that this is only their second citywide title ever in a professional sport.
Since what, the Chiefs, Super Bowl IV?
Super Bowl IV? Yeah, was that the last time they won?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a city that does a lot of championship winning.
Right. I mean, they do only have two professional teams.
They only have two professional
teams. They
don't
have the full four.
That's right. They did have the Kansas City Athletics.
Right. And the Kings used to play there, didn't they?
The Kings did play there.
You know, long before they moved to Sacramento,
that's
I believe.
Right. Yep.
And, you know, obviously, University of Kansas, granted, I mean, I know Kansas City is, most of it's in Missouri.
Right.
But I'm sure plenty of that fan base is also rooting for the University of Kansas basketball.
Right.
So they do have that. It's kind of like, how USC football has been for LA. You know what I mean? Like, Kansas basketball is their professional
right.
basketball team, basically, that they root for. So they've had some winning there as far as hoops goes.
Right.
As far as, yeah, the major professional sports, you know, Kansas City, it's not quite the drought that Cleveland had. I mean, Cleveland has.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, yeah. good for them.
Good for them. Let's see, Peter Ratner, pledge captain. We've got some people to thank. He's going to come on in here in just a second. We're at about $150 for the show. I think we've got three calls so far, shooting for 6-895-0131. We're going to get to some thank yous.
I think we should bump that up since we're already at three.
Let's keep bumping it up.
Let's go to eight.
Let's say eight. Let's be bold. 895-0131. Let's try and get eight calls. And then wrapping it up a bit on the World Series, the Mets, they're going to – that young pitching staff – there's no way they're not going to compete next year.
Right.
There is absolutely no way.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that division, you know, Don Mattingly just signed to become the manager of the Marlins. But
what a signing.
I expect them to be better. I don't, you know, just because of, you know, change of scenery kind of thing. And, you know, they had a general manager as their manager for the better part of the year this year.
Yeah.
So anything's going to be better than that.
Yeah. Peter, step on up to mic three. Why don't you deliver a message for us? Pledge Captain Peter Ratner here.
Well, I would like to say thank you to Kelly Houston, Scott Hodgson, and your mama.
There we go. Three of my favorite people. My mom, Scott Hodgkinson, and Kelly Houston.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you, Scotty.
Thank you very much, Scotty. Thank you, guys. 895-0131. We've got three calls down, shooting for five more before 6:30.
That's right. And you know, you can do an EFT. It's quick. It's painless.
Mm-hmm.
And for $10 a month, it's less than the cost of a bad cup of coffee.
There you go, which we will be drinking anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, good. And, you know, Noobs, I would say that the Nationals, of course, they should be better than they were this year.
I don't think so.
I mean, I think they should talent-wise, but that doesn't necessarily mean they will.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, they just got Bud Black
mm-hmm.
as their manager, but, you know, he didn't really do anything in eight seasons in San Diego.
No, but he, you know, aside from a couple of years, he was pretty handcuffed by a very poorly run organization. Right. I do think he's a good manager. I really do.
I just, looking at the East, though, in the National League, I just don't see the Phillies, anybody really stepping up. I'm just not that impressed with the Nationals. I'm going to stop.
They're not a very good team.
So I honestly think if the Mets, if they can keep most of those guys, maybe even re-sign Cespedes, who, yeah, he had a poor World Series, but come on, that guy was
a big part of
why they got there. They wouldn't have gotten there if it wasn't for him. So
no way.
If they can re-sign some of those guys, I don't know if they'll keep Murphy or not.
Well, somebody's going to pay him too much money.
Well, I was going to say, after the National League championships, or after the first two rounds, I would say his price would have been inflated.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think it's going to come back down to earth a little bit because
I mean, he had a great career moment.
Right.
He will not surpass that moment in his career.
But just based on that pitching staff, you know, I wouldn't doubt if they don't win 100 games next year.
You never know. I mean, they got to be diligent on that lineup, though.
They do.
If say, Cespedes and Murphy walked, you know, Murphy's a good player.
Right.
They got to plug the holes.
They do.
They will. They have money. They're New York.
But they had some crazy stat where they won like 90% of their games where they scored four or more runs.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So even if they eke out a bunch of 3-2 ball games next year, I still feel like that can add up to.
And I think a guy like Conforto will only get better. You know, he's a young
blood. Conforto's definitely going to get better.
Yeah.
I love Granderson coming out of the leadoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cespedes, like I said, if he returns, you know, David Wright, if he can have a full season of health, you know, he's dealing with spinal stenosis.
Right.
I love Flores, you know. Dude is decent, and he gets hot. He's capable of hitting 30 home runs.
He's kind of a beer league softball player.
It looks like it. I mean, he had a really, really horrible moment last night. But, you know, whatever. They can make some moves, but I like the catcher,
mm-hmm.
Darno. I think he's the catcher of the future for that team. Young catcher, young staff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, even year. So does that mean
the Giants are winning it all?
The Giants to win it all.
Obviously. Why are we even talking about anything else right now?
I have to enjoy saying that until it doesn't happen. You know?
Right?
Yeah, so I'll roll with that for a minute. But yeah, we're just wrapping up the World Series here and say, hey, it's Pledge Drive. Got a full hour. 895-0131 is the phone number. Give us a ring. We've got a lot more to get into. And Noobs, what have we been doing this for? How many years? Is this 3 years for us?
Well, we started around the Baltimore Niners Super Bowl.
Right.
So this would be like our fourth Super Bowl that we're not covering the NFL.
Hey, give us a call if you like the fact that we're not covering the NFL this year. I mean, yeah. I feel pretty good about that.
On that note, my buddy, like one of my best friends from home,
uh-huh,
who lives in L.A. now, he just hit me up on Facebook today. He's like, you got to break the silence. He's like, people want to hear about it. And I'm like, dude.
No, we're this far
in. I was like, yeah, I mean, come on. We're just ratcheting, you know, we're tightening the screws on Goodell right now.
That's right. We are. He's feeling the heat that we're bringing.
He's sweating.
Yeah. 895-0131. Somebody give us a ring if you enjoy not hearing about the NFL. I would appreciate that. Let's take a real quick break. We're about 20 minutes in. Going to play a quick tune here by Timmy's Organism. This is Mental Boy. It's KZFR. Say Hey, Pledge Drive. Pledge Drive's hour-long edition of Say Hey. It's Timmy's Organism right there in the background doing Mental Boy, and we'd like to thank our generous underwriters who keep us going. I'd like to thank Buffalo Wild Wings, 36 beers on tap, wall-to-wall HDTVs with nonstop sports, wings, and more at 801 East Avenue. They're open every day, 11 a.m. till midnight and beyond. More info at buffalowildwings.com. We got Trace Hombres Long Bar and Grill featuring coastal Mexican cuisine reminiscent of the beach, the Baja and Yucatan, with flavors from all over Latin America. Their Long Bar offers over 120 premium 100% blue agave tequilas and has been voted best margarita in Chico 10 years in a row and counting. Located on the corner of 1st and Broadway in downtown Chico, Trace Hombres is open 7 days a week. We've covered some baseball today, Noobs. 895-0131. Who's going to be that next phone call? 895-0131. Give us a ring. We got three calls in so far. Let's talk some hoops. Or maybe should we talk some college football since we didn't get to it last week at all?
Oh, we got time. I think we can hit both.
We can hit both. All right, let's do college football first then. And I think the most interesting storyline over the weekend is perhaps the disaster in the ACC.
Wow.
I mean, that's even bad for bad.
I mean, if it had been clean, it would have been the greatest
play
of all time.
It would have been amazing, but it wasn't even close to being clean.
Right.
So if you didn't catch it, Miami and Duke played. And Duke football is having a really great season, which is not normal. And
they've been decent the last couple of years.
I mean, they've been decent, but like definitely better than they would normally be.
For sure. It's a basketball school.
It's a basketball school. And Miami winds up on the final play of the game on a kickoff going all Cal Stanford about it. But there were flags for illegal blocks in the back. There was a knee down. Anyway, the play
guys had their helmets off, running on the field.
Yeah, guys were running on the field. Winds up going to review. It's like a 49-second play. It goes into like a 10-minute replay. And in college football, they don't have a replay center in the stadium. It goes to the conference, like headquarters. And this 10-minute review winds up being upheld, and they pick up the illegal block in the back foul, which isn't reviewable. They miss the knee down. There's no penalty for too many men on the field as the opponent is literally running down the far hash mark with his helmet off.
While the play was, the guy hadn't gotten in the end zone yet.
Yeah, I mean, there were like
he's like running parallel
infractions as to why this shouldn't have stood, and it did, and Miami won the game.
Do you want my quick answer?
Yeah,
college football is crooked.
You think that the fix was in? But Miami's not very good.
I mean, I know, but that's I'm looking ahead to the ACC championship game.
Uh-huh.
And I think, and I mean, I'm saying that a little loose. I don't know if that's what was going on, but considering that this goes, like you said, to the conference as opposed to some independent officials in the stadium, like looking ahead, right? The winner of that division, but up until last weekend was looking, it was like either going to be Duke, North Carolina, or Pitt,
mm-hmm.
right? North Carolina beats Pitt on Thursday night, so it's basically going to be Duke or North Carolina most likely playing the winner of this weekend's Clemson-Florida State game.
Mm-hmm.
That's if everything else, you know, falls how it should. So I'm just wondering if there aren't some of the powers that be that feel like maybe they'd rather have North Carolina play Clemson or Florida State. Because let's be honest, this whole shuffle, this whole when the music's over, everybody sits down looking for a seat thing we got going on with the college football playoff. Because remember, there's five major conferences, right?
Mm-hmm.
ACC, SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, and the Pac-12. Okay, but there's only four spots. Okay, so everybody's trying to get their conference champion into this playoff. Now, maybe somebody was thinking we're better off not having Duke in this game. Maybe because Duke is more of a spoiler, perhaps, or maybe because if Florida State blows or Clemson blows Duke out, it won't look as impressive because it's Duke.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm not really sure. I mean, this is complete just a wild conspiratorial theory that I'm running out here.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, the point is that these things should be decided in-house and not go to the conference, whereas like you see these things happen last year. Like, for instance, the Big 12 said TCU is their conference champion when they had a split between them and Baylor, and that went out costing them. Neither one of those teams wound up getting in the playoffs.
Right.
So, you know, all I know is there's four spots and there's five champions.
Right.
So
I like to lean on the side of gross incompetence.
Well, there's that too.
Because
there's always that when it comes to referees.
There's these things in the world where, like, you know, when you'll see a commercial, like during a game or whatever, any commercial, and it's so flagrantly bad, and you sit there and you go, or a really horrible movie that loses tons of money, and you're like, somebody said that this was a good idea and that this should be made and this should happen.
Some boardroom, someone was like, that's like, great. Yeah,
that's
green light
let's
that
let's
one.
Let's do that. People in officiating positions are the same way sometimes. It's like you really looked at the tape and you actually thought that that was the right call.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're getting paid to make this call and clearly you can't do your job. And I don't get it. Like how do you look at a play like that for 9 minutes and not overturn it? It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
And I mean, that's what replay's there for.
Absolutely. I mean, no, that's, you know, you just hit the nail because it's like, why even have the system if we can't go back and get it right?
Right.
It's just completely pointless. Why not just take away all of that and just have every single call on the field stand?
Right.
And let's just go back to the way it was and just say, you know what? Human error is a part of the game.
Right.
Because the whole point of instant replay was to take human error out of it.
Right.
But clearly, human error is still playing a big part.
Yeah.
And that's why I kind of threw out the possibility that maybe this goes beyond human error and there's a little bit of manipulation.
You never know.
Depending on what the powers be.
Well, and then another thing that bugs me is that so the ACC recognizes that it was blown. They suspend the officiating crew 2 games, which is really like you don't hear about that much. So the ACC as a conference was terribly embarrassed. But as typical with most sports, they won't overturn the decision, the outcome of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like all of these conferences, Major League Baseball, the NFL, they all have the right within their power to overturn the outcome of a game based